Hi there. My name is Jeff Frankham, and I want to welcome you to C3 Ballina's Podcasts. We're so pleased that you can join us. And if you are ever in the Northern Rivers area, we would love to meet you. Our Sunday service starts at 10:30 a.m., but we also have great coffee and nibbles starting from 10. But right now, we pray that as you hear this talk, we pray your faith would grow and that your understanding of what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus would become more real, more practical, and more empowering.
And it just continues with good news this morning because we have a very special two guests joining us this morning, and their names are Richard and Sue Botter. Good morning to you. They are lifelong friends of Jeff and Carolyn, and I heard very keen gardeners. You also enjoy bushwalks, good food, good wine, good company. There you go. But in all seriousness, they are very influential in the church, and they've led a very large church in Carlingford, Sydney, for about 26 years. Is that right? 30. Oh my goodness. That's a long time. That's a good innings, people, isn't it? 30 is a good innings. And they now actually have a second campus. Richard and Sue just handed over the leadership of C3 South Asia region to a beautiful Indian couple that they've been mentoring for many years, which is very special, I'm sure, to see that transition and that handover. And today Richard's going to be speaking to us, and I think it's really a powerful moment that we're about to experience, church. Super encouraged by the messages I've heard from both of you. I've been in the church since I was 13, and I've been witness to actually hearing you guys speak before. And so when I saw that I was reading your intro, I thought, what a privilege, because I get a lot out of whatever you say. He is in church governance around C3, and they've purchased land in Sydney with plans to actually continue planting churches and facilities. And so be encouraged this morning. Can you give him a beautiful C3 Ballina welcome as he comes and shares with us, which I no doubt will be a phenomenal word. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All good? Thank you, Peter. Give everybody at the back there a hand, because they're the guys who make this place run. And which is a really important thing, and I have to say it's great. Jeff and I have just done the run from Byron Bay, so it's good to be here. I said to the guys at Byron Bay this morning, the first time I ever went to Byron Bay, we were on a beach mission at Byron Bay, which was just fantastic. We'd been going out for just a short period of time. Hi, Jonathan. It's good to see you, mate. I'm glad you got your coffee. It's always good. You're not meant to bring coffee into the auditorium, are you? No, Jonathan. Oh, did I out you, mate? Sorry. Oh, it's water. Oh, right. Yeah. No. Anyway, so we're on we're on this beach mission. We've been going out for just a few months. Nobody knows. Our best friends are leading the beach mission. And I'm kind of there as the spiritual director person for the beach mission. And we turn up at church in Byron on the Sunday. And we sit next to one another, and we had a chat to the pastor beforehand, not C3 Byron, I might add. And the pastor of the church there, which was called Byron on Fire. So if you've been here long enough, you'll probably remember that church. Anyway, he prophesies over us that we're going to get married. And the team of people who are there with us just look and go, well, he got that wrong. Why are we bothering in this church? Like, this is just nonsense. Anyway, so after the service, they all turn to us and go, well, that was just bad. That was really bad. And we just went, no, it may not be bad. That was the first time I've been to Byron Bay. Byron has a very special place in my heart. It's great. It is fantastic to be here. Thank you, Jeff and Carolyn, for your very kind invitation. And we do love these guys. They've laboured with us a lot over in South Asia, which Sue and I at the conference, the global conference next month, we will do the final part of the handover for that region of the world, which is the most populous region in the world for people and has a massive need for the gospel. I know your church is involved in that and has been involved in bringing the gospel into that region for a long period of time. And can I just encourage you to continue to do so? It's a very challenging region of the world for Christianity. It's at times quite difficult, actually, and pretty brutal. And so pretty much every week I get a report of one sort or another of one of our churches which is having some kind of strife of substance, from physical beatings to economic persecution to you name it. That's what they're used to. That's the way they do their faith. We're not called into that context, but we are called to prayerfully support and encourage and to do more than that if that's what God is asking of you to do, which is cool. It's very good to be here. I have to say, this church has a very soft spot in our heart. And the first time we came with our family. I think we were on holidays at Lennox Head. And we turned up at Ballina High School. And church was in there. And we just rocked up, sat in the pews and enjoyed worshipping. And it was a great service. And I don't think we knew Jeff and Carolyn, but their hospitality was, well, you know the legend of their hospitality because they are incredibly hospitable people. And we just went, well, we need to make these people friends. And it's been our privilege to have them as friends for quite some time. And but more than friends, warriors in the battle together. I've been praying. Jeff invited me to speak sometime. I feel very high here. Normally I'm on the floor. Oh, that feels so much better. So much better. Sorry, Jeff, I'm going to do this as well. I did this at Byron. I just came off the stage down onto the floor. You can see me. That's good. Can the camera see me? Am I all good? Hi, everybody on TV land or whatever you call that thing. Yeah, so it's good. I will say we had lunch with Anders Howison and his beautiful wife, Julie, yesterday. So hi, Anders. I will say hello to you. I don't know who else is there, but I don't mean to be favourites there. I have been praying because I don't want to come to a church and just kind of do something. I want to preach what I really sense the Lord has put in my heart. And I have a word that I really believe is for you. It's a word about faith. Let me remind you that when a preacher preaches, the word of God is a two-edged sword. Cuts them first before it cuts you. This has cut me deeply. This isn't an easy message to preach. It may not be the easiest of message to receive. That's okay. You're up for it. You're a good church. You're a strong church. You're a great church, in fact, with an incredible footprint over the north coast of this state. A footprint that needs to enlarge. I have no question in my mind and my heart about that. That's challenging. It takes sacrifice. It takes commitment. But I'm absolutely convinced that's where you've got to go to. I want to remind you that Christians are faith-filled, big-thinking people who never insult God with small thinking or safe living. I want to remind you of that, because that's our starting place today. We are big-thinking, faith-filled people, and we don't insult God with small thinking. We don't insult God with safe living. That's the place of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we always live up to that. Please don't hear me speaking about an unrealistic and unachievable kind of framework. This is not unobtainium, that rare earth metal that, you know, some people never actually get to see. No. But at the same time, we have got to actually live in such a manner that this extends us, our faith in Jesus extends us beyond who we are in our natural context and actually enables us to fulfill the destiny that God put you on the planet for. Because you're not an accident here. You didn't turn up this morning just because you thought it'd be a nice idea to be in church. God had a hand in that as well. It is a nice idea to be in church. Let me affirm that. There's no question about that. But God had a hand in you being here. No question in my mind. We seek God for the impossible. And that's what Christians do.
Yes.
We believe God for miracles. That's what Christians do. We dream that God would do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask, think, and imagine in our lives, in the life of our church, for His glory, because we are Christian people. We stand up for what God calls us to be and to do, to impact our society, our communities, with the good news of Jesus. And we do it through His love. We do it because love flows out of us with great power. Christians are faith-filled. I want to look at two really quick stories in the Gospels, two stories about Jesus being amazed, which is a wonderful thought, isn't it? Wouldn't it be lovely to be able to amaze Jesus? Well, you can. You may never have thought that you could amaze Jesus, but you can. Because there's at least two stories there in the Gospels of Jesus being amazed by individuals. Have you ever thought that you could amaze Jesus? By the end of this morning, I want you to have that as a goal, that you would amaze Jesus. That there are people around you who are also amazed, but that you have amazed Jesus. There are two different ends of the spectrum. One is a great story, one is not a so great story. The first story is of Jesus in his hometown. He's teaching some people who get offended by him. They think, who does he think he is? He's the son of a carpenter. He's a waste of space. How dare he speak to us like the way he is speaking to us? There is no way he should be saying these kinds of things, and he shouldn't be doing it with us. And in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 to 6, we read this. He was not able to do a miracle there, except to lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed because of their unbelief. Then he went around among the villages and taught. What was he amazed by? Their unbelief, their lack of faith. Not the best reason to amaze Jesus. I've done it. That's the truth. I would be pretty convinced that most everyone in this room has. It's not the place we want to be, but it's a place of reality that we've actually got to admit to, and we've got to start to work from, remembering that Jesus came with a really simple message, repent and believe, which means turn around from living a way which is not God-honoring and start believing and living the way that God would have you to live. And if you're at a place where lack of faith is more real for you than not, then follow the message of Jesus, repent and believe. Jesus was amazed. He was blown away. He was shocked. He was stunned that they didn't believe he had the power to do what he said he could do, or that he was who he said he was. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Second story is in Luke's gospel. There was a centurion who the Jews would have hated because of the cruel things that centurions did. Well, he sends a servant off to have a chat to Jesus, because one of his servants was dying and he was sick and he wanted Jesus to do something about it. When Jesus met the centurion simply says very plainly to him, you don't need to come to my house to pray. At your very word, I believe my servant will be healed. At your very word. You just say it, my servant will be healed. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 9, we read these words. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. He turned and said to the crowd that followed him, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Now, there you go. Who wouldn't want to amaze Jesus like that one? Who wouldn't want to amaze Jesus like that? He was amazed. Two different times Jesus was amazed. He was amazed at lack of faith. He was amazed at great faith. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus looked at your faith level here this morning, at this moment, 11:20 on Sunday morning, the 14th of April, Would Jesus be amazed at your lack of faith or your great faith? It's a pretty horrible question, I admit. It's a question that we actually do need to ask and answer. Maybe not every week or every moment, that's for sure, don't worry about that. But every now and then what we need to do is we need to be in a place where we allow God to search our heart and we invite him to do so and ask whether we're really there or not. Whether there is a sense of, wow, botter, you're doing it. Or you're missing it. And sometimes I'm doing it on some things and missing it on other things. That's the truth of it at different times and different ways. Those things occur. There's no question about that. But I tell you, what I want to do is by the end of this morning, I want you to be in a position where you are actually taking steps of faith, moving forward so that Jesus, when he looks at your faith this time next Sunday morning, when you're in here, there is a sense of that great faith at work within you. Because we live by faith. As Christian people, I believe God is calling us to be faith-filled, big-thinking people who never insult God with small thinking or safe living. That's where we start as Christian people. So I want to give you three things just out of the book of Hebrews, that great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, which really strike me about how faith truly works within each one of us. And the first one goes simply like this: you cannot play it safe and please God. You cannot play it safe and please God. The author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, if you can do everything within your own power and you never need the power of God, then you are living without faith. And that means you're not living as a Christian, because Christians live by faith. That's what Christians do. We live by faith. Things are beyond us and we need God to intervene into those situations by faith for actually us to fulfill all that God has called us to be and to do. We need to be in that position somehow, some way, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is so messy. So, so messy. It's not always constant. It's not clean. There may be moments when you've got faith and you're going, yeah, I know where we're going. We're not what does. Oh, this is fantastic. And then almost the next minute, you're overwhelmed with doubt. And sometimes you feel like God really spoke to me and I know what he said. I know what I've got to do. This is great. And other times you're going, oh, I don't know what he wants. I don't have a clue. I wish it was like it should be easier. I can't get this. Sometimes God can be really hard to follow, and that's why we need faith. Faith matters at this point in time. One of the greatest examples of faith that I know in the New Testament is Peter, Matthew chapter 14. All the disciples are in a boat. Jesus comes walking on the water to walk past them. It's a very bizarre situation, very strange story. If you ever put yourself into that story, you kind of go, where am I going to be in that story? Am I going to be Jesus walking on the water? Nobody ever puts themselves in the position of Jesus, do we? No, we don't do that. No. So we're going to be one of those people on the boat. But have you ever put yourself in Peter's shoes, or you put yourself in one of the other 11? Jesus is like, hey, anybody who wants to come out on the water, come and walk with me. Peter goes, yeah, you little ripper, I'll do that. So he gets up out of the boat, starts walking on water. And you know, I have heard too many people criticize Peter for having a go and failing. I'm like, he had a go and there are 11 blokes who didn't. I'd much prefer to get wet like Peter did than sit in the boat, stay in the boat and not have a go. Because you know what? That spirit of faith is the way that we are actually meant to live. We are meant to take steps beyond our ability, into the unknown, sometimes the supernatural in that context, into things which just make no reasonable sense, like walking on water. How nonsense is that? I've discovered that failing is often the first step to discovering God. Peter failed in a whole lot of people's hearts and minds. No, he didn't. He had a go. And yeah, he may not have walked on water for a long time, but he got to walk on water. When was the last time you did? I've found that failing is often the first step to discovering God. Never let the fear of failure stop you from taking a step of faith. What's going to happen if I get out of the boat? I don't know. You don't know. Get out of the boat. All I know is that you have to step out to find out. I don't know who that's going to speak to, but I know as I was preparing and praying for you that there were a number of people here today who have got to step out of the boat that you're in. As I said, I've no idea who. But I want you right now, if you sense that's God right now for you, I want you to stop and I want you to mark that in your mind. Maybe if you're taking some notes, write a note and just go, I have to step out. I'm done with staying where I am safe. I'm going to step out. You cannot play it safe and please God. Would God be amazed at your great faith, or would he be amazed at your lack of faith? Principle number one is this. You cannot play it safe and please God. The next thing I know about faith is this. As long as you have a guarantee, you don't have faith. If you've got a guarantee, you don't have faith. You don't need it. You've got a guarantee. Writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this. Faith is the confidence that what we hoped for. Notice, it's not like what we've got a guarantee for, but what we hope for. We're still in the hoping. I hope this is God. I hope this works. I hope I heard him right. It's a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us an assurance of things we cannot see. That's the nature of faith. And the problem for many of us is we want a guarantee. I want to know that that's going to actually work. It's going to happen this way. It's going to happen that way. I want the cast iron guarantee. I want it written up. I've signed out. It's all good. Harvey Norman have given me the right thing. I've even got the extended guarantee deal. All the rest of it, it's all good. No, that's not the way faith works. It will not work that way. You want it to work that way. You will be profoundly disappointed. And then you'll wonder where God is. Well, God has remained where he's always been. We love a guarantee. I'm an engineer at my heart. I like things being really beautifully ordered, structured, with the next step after the next step after the next step. I love it that way. That's the way I'm built. This walk of faith thing's really annoying. It's hard work. But you know what? There's an adventure in it. You find God in the middle of it, which is just like, what the? And it is so rewarding. It's not funny. When we're dealing with God, sometimes we sense a maybe. God, I think you're calling me to this. Or I'm not sure. Is it you, God? I don't know. And guess what? That's okay. You keep walking by faith and you find God in the middle of all of that. If you can have faith, but you can have control, but you can't have both of them. You can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. Pick which one you want this morning. I think God's calling me to do this. I hope God's calling me to do this. I believe God's calling me to do this. Take the step of faith. Are you going to start a business? I don't know whether God's in it. Well, have you sought some wise counsel? Have you been praying about it? Have you thought it through? Have you talked to your accountant? Have you did, like, are you going to take a step of faith? Is that the next step that you need to take in that journey of your life at this point in time? Are you going to start a new area of ministry? You're going to step up and step in one way or another? Do you want a guarantee? Like, God, I want steps 3, 4, 5, and 6. I want them all planned out. That's my engineering brain. I want the whole thing, the strategic plan all organized, everything, and God goes, take the first step and I'll let you know what the second one looks like when you take the first one. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that, God. I'm an engineer. You're the one who made me an engineer. You gave me that kind of brain. I've got all the excuses, all the understanding in the books. Don't you worry. I know how to turn God, around circles, and he never turns into circles. I end up going, okay, God, I'll take this step. And you know what? I've found that when I take one step, the next step becomes a pretty easy step to take because there's a little bit of momentum because I took a step, the next one, and then suddenly I start walking. I actually start walking by faith because I took the first step. I don't know what your first step is. But some of you need to decide this morning, I'm going to take that step. Maybe you're going to go home, you're going to talk to your spouse, and you're going to say, I made this decision in church this morning. It scares the living daylights out of me. But I know that's my next step, and I don't have a guarantee. And your spouse is going to go for it. Aren't we all spouses? If you don't happen to have a spouse, find a wise, trusted person who you know loves you, who's for you, and share it and go, I think this is the step I've got to take. Guess what? Do it, because we do faith together, not individually. We do faith together. We're a community of faith. We're a church. You have to take some faith risks. You can't play it safe and please God. You can have control, or you can have faith, but you can't have both. And the third thing I know about faith is to step toward your destiny, you have to step away from your security in obedience to God. You have to step toward your destiny. To do that, you have to step away from your security in obedience to God. Make sure that the bit at the end actually is there. Don't just step away. Step away in obedience to God. Throughout the book of Hebrews, the writer just gives us one person after another, great saints of faith. And one of them is Abraham, one of the great characters of the Old Testament. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, we read this, that Abraham, by faith, Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Not a good idea. Like, that's not the way you plan your holiday. Oh, we're just going out for a bit of a lark. We don't know where we're going. We're just going to get in the car and drive. And when we're there, we'll know. Like, who does that with your whole family? Like, that's nonsense. That's a very stupid thing to do, particularly for my brain. I do not do those kinds of things. We're looking at a holiday later in, you know, the early part of next year, late end of this year, and we're already planning what we're doing by the day. Because that's me. That's my wife. We're doing that. It scares me not knowing. Abraham, by faith, goes to somewhere that God hadn't even told him where he was going to. Just start the step and the walk, and I'll tell you where the next one is. And then you go, and could be quite a meandering kind of walk, couldn't it? Like, you know, who knows how you're going to get there? Because I'm, of course, going over to that corner there, but I came over this way. Why would I come over this way? Because God said, come this way first. And it's like, that's stupid. It would have been much faster if I just went straight up to that corner over there. And it would have been. But sometimes God takes you in a slightly different route than you expected. Why? Because he's got things for you to learn along the way which are really critical for you to learn. And if you're prepared to learn them, guess what? You'll be the richer for it. Some of you have had very, very strange and windy journeys. I've certainly had one of those. But it's amazing what God has taken me through that has prepared me for the next within my world. Each of us has a destiny in God. He's created us and formed us. He's positioned us for his purposes. And we realize his purposes by faith. And when you take that step, and you keep your eyes focused on the author and perfecter of your faith, suddenly his power begins to work in you and through you. And you're not walking by sight anymore. You're now walking by faith, which is the way Christians walk. Faith pleases God, and without it, it's impossible to please him. We have access to the Holy Spirit within us. When we get born again, we get born again of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes to live within us. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We have all the resources we need because the Spirit of God is within us. And we have that beautiful, prayerful context whereby we learn to walk by faith and access all that God is. How does it play out in our lives? It'll play out individually. It'll play out corporately. I do. In a prophetic sense for you, you guys have got a footprint that needs to expand over the north of New South Wales. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what the next step is. All I know is that that's part of it. But it's as I pray for this church, which I do, because I get to pray for Jeff and Carol, there is this expansion thing that, you know. And that may be, like, you may be surprised at how that all occurs. But God's in it. There'll be things that'll play out individually. There'll be things that play out corporately. God is speaking to some of you. And you need to take a step of faith. And for some of you right now, you need to go, I've got to take that step of faith. And I actually, because as I've been praying for you, I know that God's been speaking to a bunch of you about some steps you're meant to be taking. And you know that. You're meant to, and I've come here this morning and you're going, okay, it's time. I'm taking the step. I want you to take that step. I want you to mark it in a diary or put it in your phone as a note or something. I don't know, whatever does, write it on the inside of your eyeballs if you like. You know, do something that will remind you, I'm taking that step of faith. Maybe the best thing for you to do is before you go home, you share it with somebody you trust who will pray with you, encourage you and strengthen you and help you to fulfill the step of faith that you're meant to be taking, and take the step of faith. Maybe it's to share your faith with somebody that you've known for a long time and you've never taken that next step of sharing your faith with them. Maybe a family member, maybe a colleague at work. You know, they know that you're a Christian. You don't know how they'll respond. You're fearful of the relationship going a little bit weird, maybe, you know, if you kind of share your faith, but they already know that you're a Christian person. They see the Spirit of God upon you. They know that you're different one way or another. They maybe kind of have all the right religious language and stuff like that. Don't give a rip about religious language. They just know it. And you just begin to share your faith in an authentic and honest way with them. Not triumphal, true. That's what you share, true. And it's amazing how sometimes what happens is people just go, oh, I needed to hear that. And you were going, I really would have liked them to become a Christian today. No, you're on a journey of faith with them. You're walking with them. Don't put everything on number 9. Right? Don't do that. Begin a conversation. But it's amazing how people will engage in that conversation and how beautiful the conversation is. How powerful the conversation is. As you just begin to share faith, maybe that's the step of faith that you've got to take to share your faith one way or another with somebody. Some of you are going to tithe for the first time. You've heard about it, you've thought about it, you've made excuses, and suddenly you're going to do something that makes no rational sense. And let me assure you, it doesn't. You're going to return 10% to God of what He blesses you with through His church, and you're going to see God provide for you. And you're going to realize that 90% with His blessing is a whole lot more than 100% without it. Because that's the nature of it. For some of you, you're going to step out and you're going to start a connect group. You watch some people around you who you just love to create a sense of connection with. And you're going to step out and you're going to wonder, well, am I good enough? Do I know enough? You know, what's going to happen? Will anybody turn up? We had, last Sunday morning in church, we had a bunch of baptisms. One of the young girls who's in year 11 at school went on a mission trip last year to France. Her faith was family faith up until that point in time in her life. While she was away, she met Jesus. And she got, whoa, just a second, this is real. So she comes home, having met Jesus and sorted her, like, okay, I'm now, it's been wonderful to be part of a Christian family. Now Jesus is my Lord as well. So she starts a Bible study at her Christian school. It is a Christian school. And she thinks maybe 10 people might turn up. 62 people turned up from her grade. She took a step of faith. She didn't know whether it would work. She didn't know whether she was good enough. She didn't know whether... Don't worry about whether you're good enough. You're not. You're not. Who said you were good enough? Who said you need to be good enough? What you need to be is obedient. That's what God's calling you to. Some of you are in that space. That's cool. Some of you are going to serve in youth ministry. You're going to wonder why. Are you cool enough? No. Can you connect with them properly? No. Suddenly you're going to get in there and you're going to realize that those kids have so much potential. They have so much passion. And some of them are seriously messed up. Cutting themselves, sexually confused, depressed. You know it. You know it. That's what our youth are going through. And 6 months from now, you're going to wake up. And you're going to say, this is the best part of my life. God is using me to impact this generation of people. Some of you are going to go into children's ministry where it's a little bit easier, I believe. I don't think I've ever been good at either youth or children's ministry, I might add, but at least little kids aren't quite as robust as some of the older kids. But if that's your passion, go. Just say, I'd love to serve. I want to be part of what God is doing here, and I'm taking a step of faith. I don't know what step of faith you need to take, but I know that I'm here to tell you, take the step of faith. Maybe you're visiting here, and your step of faith is to say, I'm going to turn up again next week. Do that, and that's all that is actually being asked by God, not sign your life away. Don't do that. Just say, I'll turn up next week. I'll turn up next week. And suddenly your faith is growing. Suddenly you're taking one step after the other, and you're not just taking a step of faith, you're actually creating a walk of faith. And our faith begins to grow, not only individually but corporately as well, because we realize that amongst one another, we are reliant upon one another to lift one another so that we can live the life of faith that God calls us to. So that when we hit those inevitable valleys, which are horrible and dark and depressing in a whole lots of different ways, we've got people who will walk with us in the midst of the valley. Along with Christ himself, I might add, because he's there with you. But we need people in those places. And sometimes we're at the top of the mountain and we're doing fantastically fine. Make sure you've got people up there with you. Because it's fantastic sharing triumph with people. We know that as well. Don't do that by yourself. Walk the walk of faith God calls you to. And God looks at you. I want him to be amazed at your faith. If Jesus were here, I would want him to be here next week. He will be. He turns up before you do, I might add. But I'd want him next week to say, I loved what you did that last week. I love what you did. I am amazed at those steps that you took. That you were prepared to take courage, get out of some of those comfortable places and spaces that you're in, some of those freak out zones, those fear zones that you're in, because we all have those, and you took a step of faith. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so amazed of you. That's what I want Jesus speaking over your life. Because we're meant to live by faith. Christians are big thinking, faith-filled, who don't insult God with small thinking and safe living. That's what Christians are. Where does that play for you? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for everybody who's here. Yes. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you lead us and guide us, you guard us, you provide for us, you strengthen us. Yes. But you call us to a walk of faith, and that means we don't know the end from the beginning. You do, we don't. But we know who you are, and you're faithful. You're filled with love and grace. You provide hope and healing. And even in the darkest of our lives, Lord God, where life just seems to close in on us, you're there. And for those of us who are there today in a dark place, a difficult place, perhaps a dangerous place, Lord God, I'm asking that you would make yourself known. now in that place for every person who's in that kind of place, Lord God. And I'm praying, Lord God, that you would send your brothers and sisters into that space to lift and to support, to encourage and to love, so that faith would rise afresh, even in the midst of darkness and difficulty. Because we all know how we've been there in the past as well. But we also know that you're faithful, because you remain faithful even if we're faithless, because you cannot deny yourself. So, Father, I'm praying, Lord God, for those in those difficult, dark places, Lord God, that the step of faith that they're to take, even if it's the smallest of steps, Lord God, you'd give them courage to do so today in Jesus' name. But for some of us, Lord God, we need to take a larger step than that, a different step from that, because we've been sitting on our backsides a little bit too comfortable. And you're stirring us and you're challenging us about some things that you've been speaking to us about that we need to take a step of faith in, and we've wondered whether we should or would. Lord God, I pray that you bring courage to us in that space and we would take the step, whatever it is. And like Abraham, even if we don't know where it's going to end up, start out. And Father, where fear is the atmosphere in which we live, when we're filled more with fear, and we wonder what if, and we always have another question or thought, or Lord, I'm praying that you would drive out that fear by the perfect love of Jesus, so that faith would flourish afresh in people's hearts and minds. So come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and cause faith to rise in people again, afresh. And Lord, for those who are making decisions about stepping out to share their faith or to start some ministry or to be involved in some means or some manner, Lord God, I'm praying, Lord God, that you would seal that by your Holy Spirit, that the commitment they're making today would be one which fills their heart with faith. While your head's bowed, your eyes are closed, an attitude of prayer, you may be here and you don't honestly have a faith in Jesus. Perhaps you're like the year 11 girl in our church who realized she had a family faith but not her faith. And she wanted to make Jesus her Lord and Savior. And she did. Maybe the step you've got to take is to say, I want to know more about Jesus. You're not going to know everything in a moment. Nobody is. But you want to take a step. You want to begin. Right now, while everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to make that decision. Jesus, I want to get to know you. And then, would you indulge me? Before you leave today, would you say that to somebody you came with? Or if you came by yourself, or you want to tell somebody different, tell somebody different, but tell somebody. Tell somebody you trust who you know knows Jesus a little bit more than you. Because they just love to support you and walk with you. Perhaps come and talk to Jeff and Carolyn, part of the team here. Let them know. They'd love to walk with you. Well, Father, we just give you this time and we pray, Lord God, that your word would dwell richly in our hearts through faith. And the impact of your word within us, Lord God, would be to cause us to shift so that we would fulfill all that you've called us to be and to do, because you put us on planet Earth with purpose. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I am going to be here at the end of the service, and if anybody feels like they'd like some prayer, I'll definitely pray for anybody, particularly if you need an impartation of faith. That would be a great privilege.
Can we thank Pastor Rich? Amazing. I told you he was good. Do you believe me now? I really felt like as I was listening to that message, something's definitely going to shift as we walk out of this space. Did anyone get that sense too? That something's going to shift in everyone's world, and particularly my world. Very challenging. Can't wait to hear the stories, guys. It's going to be awesome. Thanks for joining us at church this week. Really want to extend that invitation of prayer to you. We're part of a team that and a church that loves to pray. So if you'd like prayer for anything, please come and join us down the front and we'll pray. But otherwise, we'll see you next week. Have a great week.